Welcome to the Every Nation New York podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
Choir, the band. Y'all finished filling in your cards? Still need time? Yeah, go ahead, take some time and fill in your cards. We like getting those cards. Love getting all the prayer requests. Well, it's good to see you all. Have you guys made Valentine's plans yet? Uneasy silence.
Maybe.
Don't ruin the surprise. Valentine's in New York is just like an adventure. That's how we call it. We call it an adventure. Anything that's about to crash and burn has a possibility of crashing and burning and destroying lives. You call it an adventure. We're on an adventure. Tonight, we're on an adventure of preaching the word. Y'all ready for an adventure in the word? We're looking forward to Mark chapter 4 tonight. We're going through our series on the book of Mark. Today we're in Mark chapter 4. It's an awesome chapter. And we're going to be covering one story out of there, a parable that Jesus told, the parable of the sower. And Jesus said this. He said, unless you understand this parable, you can't understand all the others. And what it has to do with it has to do with hearing God's voice, which Jesus said, that's the source of life. He said, here's the thing. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he said, here's one of the ways that you can identify my sheep is that they know my voice. So what does it mean to know the voice of God? That's what we want to talk about tonight. I was watching the opening of the Olympics, whatever night that was, my wife and I. We don't remember because I always just record stuff and then I watch it later, right? So on the DVR, we're watching the opening ceremony. And at the end of the broadcast, everyone was just like, they're all excited. They had Mike Tirico, who's like the main guy. I don't know if these names probably mean anything to you if you've never watched the Olympics. But he took over for Bob Costas, who was the main guy. And then they had Katie Couric. And then this other guy was there who was he's an expert on Asia. And so he's like the color guy to bring all, talk about Korea and Asia and the land where they're having the Winter Olympics. Any of you guys watch the Olympics, Winter Olympics? Anybody watching? Okay, we have a few. Not really. So the big deal on opening night, on the opening ceremony, was that the two Koreas, North and South, which don't like each other, are still technically at war, have never actually signed any kind of peace treaty. They marched together as one team, which, amazing, praise God. So they're saying, they're talking about how the Koreas came together and said, did you hear how the stadium all erupted when they walked out together? And they're saying, this is such an amazing moment in time. And they're all, gushing about it. And then the expert guy, he says, it's such an amazing moment, but we don't know what the moment means. He said, it could be like the last little flurry of unity before they go to war with each other. Or it could be the first step towards a lasting peace. And he said, we really have no idea. And then he does this thing. He quotes this quote from Otto von Bismarck, who was really, a lot of historians consider him the greatest diplomat of the last 200 years. He was the man who unified Germany from no position of power, no background, never did the military, never did any of that kind of stuff. And he came in and in a conglomeration of 39 different countries, and flanked by France and Russia on either side, who had no interest in letting another superpower develop, another European power develop. In the midst of all of that, through diplomacy alone, because he wasn't a part of any political party or any, he had no power base, but he brought them all together and created what we know today as modern Germany. And it's an amazing man. So he has this amazing quote about God and Otto von Bismarck refers back to God. And so I recorded it off my DVR on my phone. So let's just watch this quote here. That's the guy. He's
branding onto the hem of his coat. And what he meant by that was that.
We're going to rewind. There we go. All the way back. You get to see it twice. How awesome is that, right?
What is going to unfold here next? What can this momentum lead to? It's really so unclear right now. The great German statesman Otto von Bismarck had a famous line. was all about listening to the footsteps of God and grabbing onto the hem of his coat. And what he meant by that was that the energy of the times often can carry a diplomat to a solution that seemed unimaginable before. We saw so much hope, so much beauty, so much promise tonight, and that's really the challenge that was laid down here. What I'll take away from you...
That's interesting, right? So he takes this quote about God, and then he says, well, it's not really about God. It's about the energy of the times. And I think, no, he's talking about God and grabbing onto God. And Otto von Bismarck was actually a part of a pietist movement that was like us, believed in being born again and coming to know God and having a living relationship with him. And so most historians believe that Otto von Bismarck had a relationship with God and was a believer and a Christian. And so this quote comes from this, how do we hear the footsteps of God and grab onto him and walk with him through history? Otto von Bismarck said, that's how I accomplished what I accomplished. And the thing is, God says every single one of us can hear God's voice. And we're all called to make a difference, to be a part of bringing the kingdom of God, which transforms every other kingdom. But the key is, how do we hear God's voice? What does it mean to listen to the footsteps of God, for the footsteps of God, and then grab onto his coattails? What does that even mean? This guy had his interpretation of it, which I thought, wow, that's way just kind of going from here to there. But tonight, we're gonna look at a section of Scripture where Jesus breaks it down and says, this is what it means to hear God. And he says, without this, you really can't understand the kingdom of God. You'll not understand any other of the things that I teach if you don't understand this first parable. So you ready for that?
Yeah.
All right, let's go do it. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word that teaches us and your Holy Spirit that comes alongside us and guides us into truth. And our prayer tonight, Lord, is we open our hearts and invite your Holy Spirit to come and guide us, to unpack the word, that it'd be more than just kind of principles and information that we share tonight, but truly your voice. We would hear your voice, as Jesus said, that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, may you speak to us tonight. May we recognize what is you speaking. And like Otto von Bismarck said, may we be able to grab on to you and walk with you as we hear your voice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to read through this story, Mark chapter 4. Jesus now has this huge crowd of people gathered around. And let's just read it. Let's just read the story. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people, that was their sound system at the time. That's how they amplified sound. They got out on the lake and spoke out over the water, and there's a natural amplification effect that it would have. And so he sat on it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, listen, and that's the title of our message tonight, listen up, learn to hear the voice of God. A farmer went out to sow his seed. Any farmers out there? Farmers? We could never be farmers. Like in our house, we try to grow cactus because it's just like minimal thing, and we just killed off 2 pots of cactus. They did a good, they survived for a few months, and then all of a sudden they were dead, like just shriveled. And we found out that one of the colorful flowers, we bought this one cactus, got a colorful flower. We found out that the flower was just painted on. It's glued on there because the whole cactus shrunk and died, and the flower was still bright and colorful sitting there. Anyway, that's our farming skills right there. Let's see. And okay, so this farmer goes out and he's scattering the seeds. Some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And I wonder what people thought when he said, anybody who has ears, let them hear. How many tonight have ears? Anybody got ears? So you can hear. What is Jesus talking about? And his disciples thought the same thing. So, okay, Jesus, the story about the farmers and the soil and all this stuff. So, you know, what's that all about? What's this? Let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. We all have ears. There's like nobody with chopped off ears. Everybody's here. What do you mean let them hear? What are we supposed to be listening for? What is this story about? Why are you telling a story about farming? You want us to be farmers? You know, what's the deal with the story about farms? And so then Jesus is going to break it down for them. And in the story, we see we have a farmer, right? We have the seed, and we have soil. Those are the three elements of the story. So we're going to look at what he means. And so Jesus goes on in verse 13, sits down with his disciples, says, okay. His disciples come to him and a few other close people, and they say, what did you mean? And he said, okay. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then would you understand any parable? If you can't understand this one, you're not going to be able to understand any other one. So this is foundational to understanding the Word of God, understanding the Christian life. Most of Jesus' parables were about what he called the kingdom of God, what it means to live with God present in our lives. And so he says, this one is key to every other parable. And so that's why I'm preaching tonight. Nathan said, Bruce, you're so awesome at preaching, and this is such an important message. Why don't you preach it? Right? That's my recollection of it. You know? Anyway, this I have the honor of preaching this one, which is such an amazing parable and great fun to tell us. So listen up. That's our title today, verse 13. Let's jump to verse 14. Let's go on. We'll keep reading. The farmer sows the word. Okay, so here's what the farmer is. He's anybody who sows the word. So tonight, I'm like a farmer, sowing the word. Anybody who shares the word of God. Jesus was like the first farmer, sowing the word, preaching the gospel, telling people the gospel, the kingdom is coming. Well, John the Baptist might have been considered a farmer, but anybody who sows the word. And what is this word? It's the spoken word of God. It's what we hear, right? He says, let him who has ears to hear, let him hear, okay? So as God speaks his word into us, okay, this is what he's talking about. Verse 15, some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. So why is that? This sown on the path. The path is just anywhere where the soil has just been walked on and gotten hard so that seed doesn't go into the ground, okay? So the another place, this parable is actually repeated in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of what they call the synoptic gospels, the gospels that tell the story of Jesus' life. And in one of them, I think it might be Luke, he says, they don't understand the word. And I think it's Matthew, it says, they don't receive the word. But whatever it is the word doesn't get inside of them. Whatever God says to them, they ignore it. And then the enemy comes, takes that seed away. Verse 15, verse 16. Others like seed sown on rocky places hear the word at once, receive it with joy. So there's this joy. They receive the word. Oh, that's awesome. What God said is amazing. But he says, but since they have no root, they have shallow soil. They only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Verse 18. Still. Others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. So there's worry and there's wealth. Good times and bad times. And either one can choke out the life of God inside of us. And the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So that seed never has a chance to bear fruit. Verse 20 says, others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And here's the amazing thing about this, the seed of that is God's word, is that it has the ability to produce more seed than we could ever imagine. And so we're going to break it down here. The sower, anybody who shares the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Things God has spoken. And then the last thing is the soil. And he says there's four kinds of soil in that. He says the first kind of soil is the one that's where it's the path. It's hard soil. This doesn't receive the word. The second one is this shallow heart. Because the soil represents our heart and the word trying to get into our heart. And a shallow heart is one where there's just not a lot of nutrient there. And then the third one is where there's other things, weeds and things that grow up and choke out the life. And the fourth one is good soil. Now what we want to do is break down each of these soils and be able to evaluate our own hearts and say, what kind of soil is my heart and how do I get it to be good soil so that I can bear fruit? How do I get to a place where I can hear God's voice, hear his word? Because when God speaks, it's life transforming. There's a famous man, we're in a Black History Month, and one of the famous African-Americans, a man named George Washington Carver. My one farming experience, I actually worked for a year with a bunch of farmers in Texas. I lived in Amarillo, Texas, where, for those of you who know who Betty and Bill, us Betty's right there. Hi, Betty. I went to Betty's church. She was the women's pastor of the church that I went to in Amarillo, Texas, and Bill was on the board there. He was an elder of that church. So I was in Amarillo, Texas, working with peanut farmers. And so here's the thing I found out about peanut farmers. They wake up early in the morning, farmers, like 3 a.m. We'd get together, and with all the farmers would come together in one place, and they would watch the weather reports, talk about how the peanuts were doing. And so I'd go there, and we eat donuts and drink coffee. And I'm not like that early of a morning person. This was like a painful year of my life. But it was great just meeting farmers and being out on the farm. And I felt like American, you know, on the farm. Hawaii's not quite like that, but so I learned a little bit about soils and seeds, and learned a lot about peanuts. Ate a ton of peanuts, saw lots of peanut plants and good peanuts, bad peanuts, and I learned about George Washington Carver, who's the man who put peanuts on the map. George Washington Carver, amazing man. There's a picture of George Washington Carver. Look at that. He was the first non-president to have a national monument dedicated to him, the very first. And he was also the first African-American, obviously, to have a national monument dedicated to him. This man, when he went after peanuts and he started just developing all this knowledge, he was so amazing. Henry Ford tried to hire him. Thomas Edison tried to hire him. Mahatma Gandhi asked for an audience with him to try to get wisdom from him. Joseph Stalin. Wanted to meet with George Washington Carver to get wisdom from this man. I mean, this is a man who in his day and age, known around the world, respected around the world from people from every political stripe, business people looked at him and said, this is an amazing guy. I need to get him on because of what he did to transform farming, transform really the economy. And here's what George Washington Carver said about it. He developed 300 different uses for peanuts. Didn't develop them all himself, but just pulled together, discovered all these different uses for the peanuts. And here's what he said, talking about himself. He said, every morning I would pray. He said, every morning I'd come before the Lord, and I'd say, Lord, show me, creator of the universe, show me the secrets of your universe. And he says, God would answer back, little man, you can't handle the secrets of the universe. I'll reveal to you the secrets of the peanut. And so he started just learning the secrets of the peanut, you know. And he said, every day I would ask God to show me something. And whether I was out in the fields or in the lab, every day God would reveal something new about himself through the peanuts, through the farm, through the fields, through the laboratories. So every day I was hearing God, hearing the voice of God through the circumstances around me. Because God speaks to us every day. And here's a man who, because of God speaking to him, got all these platforms around the world, transformed the world as we know it. And see, that's the power of the Word of God. When we become people who hear the voice of God and people who walk in that way, it changes not only our lives, but it'll change the lives around us. So hearing the Word of God is so powerful. That's why Jesus said, this is where life is. The words that I speak, that's where life happens. He says, you have to hear the voice of God if you want to live. You can't live by bread alone. You have to hear the Word of God, the words that come from the mouth of God. That's why Jesus said, this thing, let him who has ears, let him hear. And it's an ear not to just hear any voice, but can you discern the voice of God amongst all the different voices that speak? You see, every one of us, we can all hear the voice of God. You wouldn't be sitting in church today if you could not hear the voice of God. Because no one wants God. No one pursues God based on their own selves. We're all born with a sin nature that doesn't pursue God. But God is always calling to us. The Bible says every day God is calling us and drawing us. And we, the only reason why we ever have a desire to become a Christian, to seek after God, to know God, is because somewhere amongst the voices in our head is the voice of God. But how do we learn to distinguish that voice? See, that's why Jesus said, anyone who has ears to hear, like we can all hear, but let him hear the voice of God amongst the other voices. It says, if you don't understand that, you can't really understand the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God comes by us hearing God's voice. And that's what transforms our hearts. And see, we think that's so mystical and kind of, you know, how do you handle that? You know, what does that mean? Hear the voice of God. But the truth is, we all experience it. We're all familiar with it. We're in Valentine's week. And was that favorite was this is Valentine's week, right? So Valentine's is all about this romance and how does love happen? And here's the thing, you know, you're around guys and girls, and if you're in the office or in school, especially in school, you know, you kind of know that Sally likes Johnny, you know, and everybody in the class knows that they like each other, except for them. Right? No, we're just friends. No, he doesn't like me. We just like hanging out, you know. No, you guys have an attraction. No, he's really cool. We like talking. We're just friends, you know. And then they're hanging out. And then all of a sudden, Johnny's like, hey, I like you. And all of a sudden, Sally's like, and I like you too. And all of a sudden, everything changes. Why? Because the power of our words. There's something about our words. When someone says, hey, you know, everyone else can know that you love so-and-so. And you can know, I really love this person. And they know they love you. But when you say it, all of a sudden, that relationship changes. The Bible says this about salvation. It says, when we believe in our hearts start to change. And then we confess it with our mouth, everything changes. There's something about the power of words. And so God has a heart towards us. And we can have a heart towards God, but when we hear his word and acknowledge it, everything starts to change. And so today I want to break down, what does it mean to hear the voice of God? How does this happen? How do we become people who know the voice of God? Because God is constantly at work amongst us. And Jesus starts out by saying, here's some of the things that stop us from hearing the voice of God. He says, first of all, there's people whose hearts are just so beaten down by the circumstances of life. Junk happens. When you live life, junk just happens to us. We get offended, we get hurt, crises come, disappointments happen, and we just feel so beat down by life that our hearts get hardened to the voice of God. We don't want to hear about it. There's no more joy. There's no more hope. Sometimes we get just so angry at a circumstance, we get so distraught by a circumstance that we're just not having it. You ever been around a person like that? They're so angry at someone and so angry or so discouraged or so saddened or so offended by something. And you're talking with them and you realize, man, you don't have to be this angry. There's a way out of this. And you start to try to explain it to them and say, look, here's the circumstance. Here's how you can get out of this. And they're just not going to have anything. You can talk to your blue in the face. They're going to stay angry. They're going to stay depressed. And that's what Jesus taught me. He says, their hearts sometimes are just so beaten down by life, so offended by the things that have happened to them, so discouraged or so depressed. These are people that life has just walked on them. So maybe that's you tonight. It's like you believe in God, but it's hard to receive anything from him. It's hard to feel any kind of joy or excitement when God speaks to us because we just can't hear it because we've been beaten down. There's another one. The second one he talks about is the shallow heart. And that's a heart where we've never developed the character or the discipline to really get into a long-lasting relationship, a relationship with God, to really receive the word and to be able to hold on to that word. Why? Because we've never allowed our hearts to be dug up. We've never allowed that character to develop in us. A few weeks ago, we talked about how character is only developed when we walk through tough times, when we walk through conflict, trials, tribulation, and we hold fast, we hold on to the good. We hold on to that relationship even when it's tough. We hold on to that dream, to that promise, even though we walk through a difficult time, because that's where character is developed inside of us. We have the ability to be the same person regardless of the circumstances around us. To be the same person regardless of how people treat us. Why? Because we've developed deep character. And so many of us, we just kind of just float. Whatever the circumstance, someone offends me, I'm out of there. Circumstances get too hard, I'm bailing. And we're so used to just bailing on relationships, bailing on circumstances, bailing on hopes and dreams and assignments and responsibilities that we never let character develop inside of us. And so Jesus said, these guys, you get excited, like you hear, oh, I heard a word from God. God spoke to me. I'm so excited about what God will do. But the first sign of trouble, the first sign of opposition, the first time it gets hard, I'm bailing on it. Well, God didn't listen to me. God's not really in that. I mean, I heard God. I really wanted it. I thought God really wanted me to have, you know, and I prayed about it, and it didn't happen. I mean, I believed for a whole 30 minutes or a whole week, and I prayed really hard. You know, I mean, it was like serious prayer. But it's now, it's been a week, and God hasn't answered, and so I'm out of here. You know, it's just, I'm just telling my life story right there. Sorry. but Jesus said, you'll never see fruitfulness in your life, the kind of fruitfulness I want in your life, the kind of fruitfulness I intend in your life, because there's no depth, because you haven't learned how to. And here's the thing, God can zap you with character. Someone can't lay hands on you and do a spiritual thing and say, now you have discipline and now you have character. No, we're responsible for that. God plants the seed, but we're responsible for the character. And here's the thing. Every seed in it has life, has potential. There's nothing ever wrong with the seed. The Bible, Jesus telling the story, said the seed is always good, always has a potential for life, always has a potential for more than we could ever imagine. You take like a mango, right? You take a mango, you got the one mango seed in the mango, and you plant that one mango seed, and if it grows, it gets a mango tree. And how many dozens, maybe hundreds of mangoes can come out of that one seed? But then each one of those seeds from that tree can start a whole nother tree, which can have dozens or hundreds more mangoes. And so it's impossible to even understand how many seeds, how many mangoes are wrapped up in that one mango seed. And it's the same thing with every word that God speaks into your life. When God speaks a word, when you receive it and are prepared to let it bring forth fruit, there's no limit to what God can do through you. You could be the next George Washington Carver, the next Otto von Bismarck. If you learn to hear the voice of God walking through the circumstances, take hold of that. Take hold of the voice of God. But so often we've been so beaten down. We've never allowed God to develop our character. Or we've never eliminated all the other voices that distract us. That's the third kind of soil. Wealth, worries. These are all voices that call to us and distract us from God's voice. And see, the issue is not our ability to hear God's voice. It's really our ability to silence all the other voices and distinguish his amongst them. Which one is God? Which one's not God? I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. But just this past 3 weeks, we had my niece with us. She's 17 years old, graduated from high school, and so she saved up money, wants to go into the theater. So she saved up all her money. She lives in New Zealand. And then she flew here for 3 weeks to go to see shows and experience Broadway. And, of course, as a young kid, she didn't save that much money. So she learned the secret of rush tickets, going early in the morning at 7 a.m., and lottery tickets, and standing room only tickets. And amazing, she saw 13 shows in 3 weeks. And she saw Hamilton, she saw Wicked, she saw Dear Evan Hansen, all like the great shows. She's like, you've seen more shows than I've seen, and you saw the good ones that I haven't seen yet. But one of the shows she wanted to see was Wicked. And so the last week we thought, okay, we'll go with you, because they do this lottery right before the show. And I have tried the lottery. I have prayed for the lottery every time I've gone. I never won the lottery. So, because there's all these people right out there putting their names in, and then they just pick a few. And so you can sign up for two or one. And so myself, we thought we're gonna. I'll go, Terry and Sophia. All three of us. We all went, put our names in. We thought and so as we're going there, walking there, you know, you start getting that problem. I think maybe this is God, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, God, you gonna help us win this thing, you know? And I started to feel that sense of maybe that's the voice of God. But I'm thinking, okay, Shal, she's not a believer, right? Doesn't go to church or anything like that. And I'm thinking, so if I tell her we're gonna pray and God's gonna answer, because I feel like God's gonna answer. If I tell her that and it's God, it's gonna build up her faith and maybe open her heart to the Lord. But if I tell her that and then it's not God, she's gonna say, oh yeah, okay, whatever, you know, it's hocus pocus. But I thought, no, I think this is God. So, and okay, God, this we've been praying about her coming here. We've been praying for opportunities to share the gospel. Okay, God. And so I said, so, you know, Terry and I was like, I just feel like God wants to have tickets. Let's just pray. We're going to ask God to get us tickets. You know, I feel like God's honor. And so we pray, and my wife says, you know, I feel the favor of God on us. We're getting these tickets, you know. I feel like, and so we turn our thing, and sure enough, they're calling out the names, and then my name gets called. First time ever. It's like, woohoo! Yeah, exciting, right? So I got two tickets, and then my wife's name gets called, and we got four tickets. It's like, what, you know? And then I'm like, oh yeah, God, I knew that was you, you know. Came through, God came through, right? And then I'm standing in line, and so the one I got right, and I'm standing in line. This girl from Britain gets a ticket after me, and she's like, oh, you got two tickets? I said, yeah, you know. She said, I know they said two or one, but I thought because I was just signing up. My friend and I, we both came, but we both just signed up for one when we put it in. And so now I won, but my friend didn't, you know. And so I was like, oh, man, kind of a bummer, you know. And then I heard that voice again, kind of like, just pray for her, you know. Tell her, let's pray, and your friend will get a ticket. But, you know, I'm thinking, I don't know her. There's other people in the line. Is that you, you God? And I wimped out, right, just wimped out. And then the next person who got called was her friend. And I'm like, gosh, that was you, God. So here's the thing. See, God is always at work. And when he speaks to us, he's trying to give us a heads up so we can join in with him. See, my prayer for the tickets, I know after this, there's always going to be someone come and say, you know, can you pray for me for my lottery tickets? He said, no, it's not like that. I'm not praying to God to try to get him to help me win. God is saying, God already knows the future. And he's saying, guess what? You're going to win. And this is a moment for you to build faith in your niece. This is a moment for you to join in with me with what already is going to happen. See, God is constantly at work. And God wants to invite you into his work. But he can't if we can't hear. Who knows what kind of a witness I could have been to that woman from the UK if I had recognized God's voice and stepped into it and been a part of what God is doing. God wants us to be a part. And that's why when he says the sower, he doesn't say who the sower is. Why? Because each and every one of us are both soil and sower. When we allow the seed to plant into our hearts, we then become the sowers of the seed. And we get to work with God in sowing it into other people's lives. Because guess what? It's not about you. It's not about how big a house you can have and how many lotteries you can win and going to see Wicked. It's about his kingdom. And this is how his kingdom works. We hear the voice of God as he invites us in to be a part of what he's doing. That's what Otto von Bismarck meant when he said, we listen for the footsteps of God, and then we take a hold of his coat. That's what George Washington Carver said. That's why I talk to God every day. And then every day he speaks to me through the circumstances around me. And that's why people like Joseph Stalin, Mahatma Gandhi, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison all want to hear the wisdom. It's not my wisdom. It's because I've learned to hear the voice of God and walk with him. And I want to encourage you, there are people out there who need to see God in their lives. And God is constantly speaking to them, but they don't recognize it. And God wants to invite us into hearing God with him. And it's a process. And it's not easy. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Like that seed dropping into the ground. It's not fun in the ground being a seed all by yourself. you get all dirty and muddy, and you know, you get the water, and you know. But here's the thing. As farmers, if you just kept digging that seed up every day, is it sprouting yet? Is it sprouting yet? That thing's never going to sprout. At some point, we just have to receive the word and say, yeah, that's God. I'm going to hold on to that until it bears fruit. It's not easy, and we won't get it all right to start with. It's a growing process of relationship with God, learn to hear his voice. I'm going to read the Bible. You see, you read about Peter and how just in one moment, like first of all, he's saying, Jesus said, who do you say I am? Oh, you're the Christ, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, now that was hearing the voice of God. See, Peter, right there, that thought, that's hearing God's voice. And then the very next moment, Jesus is saying, and here's, as Messiah, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to go to Jerusalem, be crucified. And Peter says, no way. That's never going to happen. You're the Messiah. You're not going to get crucified. And Jesus says, okay, so that's the other side. See, that's the devil talking. So right in that same moment, Peter is hearing God and he's hearing the devil all at the same time. And God's trying to help Peter. But you and I, we all need help to learn to distinguish God's voice. That's why we have, my Bible's in here, my multiple Bibles. That's why we have the Word of God. See, hearing God's voice is key to life. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. But those words from the mouth of God, they don't outweigh this Word of God. You have to be in this Bible. So just to be clear, when we talk about hearing the voice of God, we're not saying just whatever you hear is good, you know, and you just make up whatever. No, it's all got to line up with the Word of God, right?
Yeah.
But it's not one or the other. It's both together. That's why Jesus said, okay, you have the Word, but you need the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's going to guide you into truth. He's going to help you understand the things that I've taught. And this is why as Christians, it's important that every day we're getting into the Word of God. Getting into the Scripture. But it's also important that we're learning to pray and hear God's voice. You can't have one, it's not one or the other, it's both together. That's the Christian life. The hearing of the Word of God, the reading the Word of God and getting into it is what's going to help you to discern between what is God and what is the devil and what is just me. You know, sometimes it's just me. I want steak instead of chicken. That's great, you know. But sometimes it's God and sometimes it's the devil. And we need to learn to discern the voice of God. Let him who has ears, let him hear. We all hear, but we need to be able to listen and pick out which voice is God's voice. Because Jesus said this, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Everything that he tells you is going to be for the purpose of stealing from you, destroying you, killing you. But when every word that I speak to you is going to be trying to bring life to you, abundance into your life, an abundance of friendships, an abundance of joy, peace, the things that really money can't buy, the things that are most important in life. Jesus said, that's what I'm trying to be. And I want to plant seeds in your life that you can then plant in other people's lives. But you have to have an ear to hear. And so that's our prayer tonight. Is that you would be a person who, number one, that God would, if you've been beaten down in life and I have a hard time receiving anything from God because of the offenses, the discouragements, the disappointments in life, I just want to pray that God would heal your heart. And if you're a person who just has never stuck with stuff, it's always just never allowed character to develop in your life, I'm going to pray that you would be inspired to let some character develop in your life. See, the thing is, you're going to have trials. You're going to have offenses. Jesus said, these are two things, promises. Offenses will come, and trials will come. The two great promises of Jesus. So you're going to have that in your life. The only difference is whether you allow it to develop character in you or just be a nuisance. Yeah, and you choose. Same thing with the promises of God. See, God gives promises, and every promise is going to be tested. It's going to have that season. And during the time between the planting of the seed and the producing of fruit, that season, you can either live by the promise and have great joy, like, oh, man, it's coming. You can live with excitement, anticipation. Through the muddy, alone times stuck in the soil, you can live with this great joy and anticipation. Or you can live with fear and worry of, I don't know, will it plant? I don't know, will food come? I don't know, is it going to produce? I don't know. And that's all your choice. God says his word will always come to pass. But you choose whether or not you want to believe that. All I can say is life's more fun when you live in the promise. Life's more fun when you live with the hope and the joy and the expectation that comes from saying, you know, God is true to his word. God is keeps his promises. Or you can live in, I don't know if God keeps his promises or not. I'm just going to live in this place of worry and fear. I'm going to live in this place of just circumstances driving me. But the thing is, that's your choice. Our prayer for you tonight is that you would eliminate the other voices, learn to hear his, and latch into those. Would you stand with me? I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Well, I can stand up, close it. What am I doing? We're going to sing a song after this. We'll worship. But I want to pray with you before we worship. Father, tonight, you know each one here. Lord, you know the ones who are struggling because their hearts have just been beaten down. The soil of their hearts has just gotten so hardened by the circumstances of life, that the offenses that come, the disappointments that happen, the attacks, the things that cause anger in us. God, I pray for healing for every heart that's gone hard. God, and I also, I pray, Lord God, that we'd be those who embrace tribulation, like Peter says, and allow it to have its work in us, that embrace the battles of life and let them have their work in us to cause our soil to go deep, to break up the hardened places and to grow that deep character that's going to allow us to survive the storms that come. And Father, I pray that you help us, each one here, to begin to recognize your voice amongst all the other voices, that we be people who have an ear to hear and who hear your voice and who live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father, who found the life that's in your word. That we then would not only be those in whom life-giving seed has been sown, but Father, we would also become sowers of seed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us at Every Nation New York City, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the city one life at a time.